Okay, that time again with chat here on Radio With and Ho. It's the time of the week where I very kindly have some time with a guest and we explore lots of ideas all about living in With and Ho, what it means to them, their memories, their history, anything that involves conversation, sitting down, being comfortable, having a cup of tea, which I have. Now, I've got a guest. It's my first female guest here on With Chat. That's a first. And I'm not really quite sure how to introduce this lady. I'm really not sure. I can't pinpoint her. I can't tell you exactly what she does, any specific role, because my guest for this week just seems to be all around With and Ho. Anywhere I go, which is not a lot of places, but my guest is to be guaranteed to be there. So it is, of course, Jeannie Coverley. So, hi, Jeannie. Hello.
Hello, Jason.
Is that a fair description of you? It's hard to pin you down.
Probably many hats, I think. I wear many hats.
Many hats, many balls being juggled, many plates being spun.
Yeah.
Plates we can come back to because catering is quite important for you.
Yes, has been. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know where to start, so I'm going to start as ever, maybe just thinking, when did you first move or arrive in With and Ho, please, Jeannie?
Well, I arrived in With and Ho in January 1960. Which is, a lifetime away. And we moved into a brand new bungalow in Tower Road, which cost us £2,075. And my then husband had a business, a garage, which he spent sort of 6.5 days a week at, so I was very lonely, although I did have a 9-month-old child, so she took up a lot of time. And didn't know anybody, very lonely, missed Norfolk, missed all my friends. That was my introduction to With and Ho.
And is it worth asking, or can we ask, what was it that brought you to With and Ho in the first place? Why choose With and Ho? It could have been anywhere.
Yeah, well, my husband got a job at Mark's Tay, and we needed somewhere to live, and he was looking around for new places, and they were building these brand new houses or bungalows in Tower Road. And, of course, at that time, all the Broom Grove, was fields. And we could watch the football through my kitchen window. I used to play football on the pitch behind, which seems incredible now when I look at it.
And had you heard before of With and Ho?
No, never, no. He just drifted around. I was in Norfolk, and he was lodging with his brother in Clacton, and he said, I found us a place in With and Ho. And I thought, well, where the heck is that? So that was that, really.
And first impressions, can you remember when you actually first pulled up into the town? Let's be honest, what did you first think?
Just thought, I'm frightened, I don't know anybody. And I have a small child, and at that time I couldn't drive, so I felt very isolated, I have to say. And we moved in on a Friday, and on the Saturday, my husband went to work, and I put Julie in the pram, and I thought, I must just go and find some shops and do some shopping. The first thing I had to get was some bread. So I walked as far as the bridge, and I decided, well, they didn't have a baker's here at all. So I turned round and walked all the way back, and where the Crossway Stores is now, there was a very tiny shop there. So I went in there and said, do you sell bread? And she was a Scottish lady who I then became very friendly with, and said, okay, we sell everything. So everything from a loaf of bread to more or less a piece of meat. So that was my little introduction to shops in With and Ho. And because there was a co-op, but nothing like the one now. It was just a tiny little one. And I think it must have, when I think about it, it must have been on the same site. And of course, we had the co-op butchers, where butchers the little houses next door to the Black Boy. And there was a draper's shop and a grocer's where H2O is now. So, you know, it was a self-sufficient little town, really, at that time. But, of course, there were probably 2,500 people.
And walking around now, I see lots of young mums with their prams. Mm-hmm. It seems quite a thriving sort of social scene to be a young mum. Mm. Was there then, Jeannie, in the 60s, any sort of informal support network for a young mum?
Very, very little. There were no toddler groups until, I think, Julie must have been around about 3. And the congregational minister, who was called Clementina Gordon, she decided she would start up a toddlers group, but there was no venue for it. So the kindly landlord of the Flag at the time let us use the bar at the Flag. on a Wednesday afternoon for the mum and toddlers groups. So that was, there was no William Lovelace Hall, obviously, or anything like that. So that's where we used to have our meetings.
And was it a fairly sober session?
Oh, very sober. Oh, yes, cups of tea, definitely. Cups of tea and homemade cakes and that sort of thing. And the kids, then we got friendly with the other mums and we used to invite the people back to our own houses. And that's how we became friends. And that's the start of it, you know.
Yeah, and so that's really how you started to occupy your time.
That's right.
Was it a case of you were not stranded, but you were transported into this new town?
That's right, isolated.
You had to go out and meet people and find people.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure we can, as this conversation develops, a theme which is going to also develop is how your many connections pretty much cover now all of Ivanhoe. I think this is a really fascinating story. Mm. So the toddlers group, what else was around at the time which you got involved with, please, Jeannie?
Well, I joined the Women's Institute because there was nothing else. And I would be then around about 23, I suppose. And I was terribly flattered because they asked me if I'd like to join the committee. And I thought, oh, how nice, isn't that lovely? Didn't realise that no other person wanted to do the job at the time. But that was my first sort of introduction to anything to do with organisation. I can't remember that we organised anything, to be honest, but I just remember I was a member of it. And then, of course, the Wivenhoe Players, I was involved with that. And the first play I was ever in, I played a Norfolk housekeeper, which I found reasonably easy. And the crit in the paper said that I kept up my Norfolk accent perfectly, which wasn't surprising, as I'd spent the first 21 of my years of my life there.
And was there any stage where maybe you stopped missing or feeling part of Norfolk and you thought, this is my home?
I suppose it must have taken five or six years. I suppose then Julie started to go to school and she went down to Phillip Road, you know, to where the hub is now. And then you made more friends because of other children. And I learnt to drive when Julie was three, so that opened up new things for me. And then my husband started a business with a friend of his, and we got very involved with boating at that time, which I have to say I hated. I don't like the water very much, but there we are. We did have lots of weekends and holidays on the boat. And in fact, at one stage, we went to the Norfolk Broads by sea, which wasn't my best thing that I can remember, but there we are. But, you know, it was another experience, put it like that, you know.
And all this time, so you're meeting people, mm-hmm. making connections, and I guess sort of friendships that stay very strong over the years.
Yes.
So that's quite an important time for you.
That's right.
For meeting people.
Yes, absolutely.
So if we talk maybe a bit about the town itself, sort of mm-hmm. during this period, so the early 60s.
Yeah.
And you were up towards the top end of the town.
Yes.
Did you mix much or did you have reason to go down towards the quay very often?
Not really. I didn't really think about that at the time. And I think probably that goes on even more. Even now, people sort of say, well, there's nothing on going down the bottom. It's like two separate parts of a sprawling place somehow, which is a shame that more people from the top don't venture down here, in my opinion.
And likewise as well, from the bottom going
that's
to the
right,
top. And
that's
stuff.
Right, yes. I mean, I have, over the years, I had been up to things at the football club, but I don't anymore. Used to go to the cricket club, well, because my then husband played cricket a bit, and I got very involved with that. But in the meantime, of course, I moved up to the end of Anglesey Road, up to the house which is now Witten Lodge. I moved up there in 1970, and it was right next to the Arts Club. So another involvement there. The art exhibitions every 3 weeks and social events, summer ball, a gallery gaieties, which meant that people were acting and singing and doing all sorts of things. Really silly, but really lovely times, actually.
Yeah, I think if that's okay, Jeannie, I'd like to explore a bit more about the Arts Club, because mm-hmm. it's this one club that I keep on hearing many things about, and there's a few things that are written about it. There's the odd photo mm-hmm. that's around. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking with Victor mm-hmm. on the last broadcast. He mentioned that he became involved in the Arts Club mm-hmm. as a drinking venue, more or less. Mm-hmm. He said he would go out boozy at the Rose and Crown on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. When it was throwing out time, everyone back to the Arts Club. Mm-hmm. So I think it's quite important to try and actually document this and try and explain a bit more. Mm. So it was primarily a place for artists, living artists, as opposed to dead artists.
Yes.
But living artists to actually practice their art, first and foremost.
Well, to exhibit their art more than, I mean, nobody went up there and painted as far as I was aware. And there was a bistro, so you could go up there and have a meal. And in fact, Fenella, who I think you probably, I don't know if you've been in touch with Fenella, her husband used to run the bistro at one time, Dusty, he used to run that, and many a very nice meal we've had up there. And as I said, we also had, we performed, believe it or not, in the courtyard there, Merry England, outside one year, and George Gale, who you probably know of, his mum played Queen Elizabeth and sang the part of Queen Elizabeth in that, you know. So it was a very lively social club.
So it was a sort of social event with an artists, angle attached to it.
That's
and
right.
I'm also never quite sure, so where was this based at? What was the location, please?
Well, if you go up Queen's Road and turn left, and go past where the low garden of Witten Lodge is, straight ahead of you is a long building, but behind there is a square, and it was the sort of an L-shaped building behind there. And it was fairly large, you know, and they had, well, obviously they had a bar.
A licensed bar,
oh, definitely, yes, a licensed bar. And it was all, you know, really good fun. Oh, and it... Christmas, we would have a roast pig. Dr. Dean, that's Hallie's dad, he used to produce this pig, and he had a sort of a barbecue thing made so that this pig was on a spit in the yard and for New Year's Eve. And that was a tradition as well.
So this was, at the time, I guess, very much the centre of your social life in Wivenhoe.
That's right, yes.
And for how long did that last for, please, Jean?
Well, I started in 1970, and it didn't actually finish till I think it was 1983-84, when the place was sold, and obviously the arts club was kicked out, basically. But we did have a big leaving party at Dr. Dean's house, and I still have an album of photographs that I took at the time, which I'll show you at some stage.
Yes, please. So the Arts Club itself, it sort of went through to around 80...
In the early 80s, yeah.
Early I think 80s. It was 83, 84. And it didn't really die out of apathy. It was physically, there wasn't a venue.
That's right.
Which is very, very disappointing.
Yeah, very sad, actually, it was. Because we had a lot of famous people there would come up. And they had, I think they had a cartoon exhibition at one time, and Gerald Scarfe's place, you know, he was up there, and Ian Hay, who was still in Colchester, and of course Dennis and Dickie, they were there, and lots of probably people that, oh, and Gail Cross, who lived in Wivenhoe, obviously, I've got a couple of her paintings, and Roy Cross, and Mike Hurd, there were all these local artists that all exhibited up there.
And do you think, Jeannie, that this reputation that Wivenhoe has now got as being some sort of artistic community, like rightly or wrongly, is that down to the Arts Club? Did the Arts Club put that in place? Or were artists there always and they decided to become part of this formal Arts Club?
I don't honestly know. I mean, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I really don't know. I wouldn't like to put my opinion on it, to be honest. I mean, there are still a lot. I mean, on your forum, there's somebody who wants to have a Wivenhoe Art Society again. But it's not going to be like the Wivenhoe Society up there. It's going to be a club, isn't it? You know, a sort of a closed club, perhaps when people decide they want to paint together. That's the impression I get. I might be wrong.
Yeah, and perhaps the original Arts Club was very much of its time.
That's right.
It does sound to have been a wonderful experience.
It was. It was really great, yeah.